show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports.
Leave one wolf alive, and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, John Reed, Cam Black, Hayden Wallen, intern Draven. It's game week here in Knoxville, which I didn't know if we would get here. I don't know if we're actually going to get there on Saturday. I'm still a little bit nervous that something will happen between now and Saturday to derail the beginning of the season, but positive vibes only, positive content only. It's game week. I'm pumped for it. It'll feel like the college football season finally begins, and then we will basically have everything going that I need. Everything going that I need. Life, the sports world will be complete. We'll be happy. We'll be living life, hopefully, on Saturday. Big weekend in sports already. My guy, King Bryson DeChambeau, gets his major. I feel bad that it happened on an NFL Sunday. Whenever he had like a big lead, or it was really just a two-man race, and he got that major, so maybe a lot of people didn't see it. You had Anthony Davis with, you know, his biggest shot of his career. Something about him and those braids, too, make him look, boy, he's tougher, too. He screams Kobe as he knocks down a game-winning three in the Black Mamba jerseys. He just kept wolfing at that Denver bench. I don't know what they said to him, but he was wolfing at that bench, and he's mad that he got left off of an all NBA ballot by Maria Taylor. He came out, he bought out, and we kind of saw that one, but it was like at halftime of the Seahawks-Patriots game. We had a good game there. Russell Wilson versus Cam Newton came down. If the Seahawks are in a primetime game, it's going to come down to the last possession. Like, it's just kind of how it goes. Had a good NFL Sunday. Before we get into it, I guess I'll ask you boys how you're doing. Thumbs up from Hayden. Cam, how are you? Oh, man, Cam.
I'm doing wonderful.
Okay, good to hear. Cam is still at the stage in grief where he is denying all this. Cam is okay, everybody?
This is perfect. I'm in the perfect situation here. This is exactly what I wanted. The haters against us. Everybody forgetting about us. This is exactly what I want.
Well, no one is forgetting about you. I got a lot of messages again. Check on Cam.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would say you're okay. Like, you put out a tweet about going to the Henley Street Bridge, and people did not think you were joking. You put out a PSA.
I couldn't get off work, or I would have been there. But
about the battered fan base syndrome, like, you're out here in bathrooms. I imagine you took like a 10-minute bathroom break at work to film your little PSA. Like, you were laughing through the pain. And last night I was talking to you and I said, you know what? I think it'll be okay. Draven's not going to be too mean to you. And then Draven shows up in a CeeDee Lamb jersey today. And the first thing,
with that push off on the.
The first thing he says to me when I open the door is, "How about them Cowboys?" I was like, well, guess I was wrong about what Draven is going to do to Cam. Draven, I'll let you speak your piece because
you're welcome, Draven.
You were in the hot seat for a little bit.
I was.
You were in the hot seat for a little bit. It did not look like the Cowboys were going to pull themselves up off the mat, but everyone, including myself, forgot they were playing the Falcons, and they pulled themselves up off the mat. Congratulations to the Cowboys.
Appreciate it. Yeah, you guys, I think, all wanted to probably come in here today and, you know, the new guy, hate on him a little bit, give him a little grief, give him a little, you know.
Well, to be honest, before you keep going, I've gotten many messages. You are not the new guy. People have complimented your brashness for coming in and not being timid and just, you know, kind of kicking the door down. So I don't even think it would be the new guy. I think it would just be the guy that roots for, you know, a team that since, you know, I was 6 years old has done absolutely nothing in the NFL. Like, since I was six, like, the Cowboys have won, like, two playoff games. I think it's more about that, the brashness that comes from how can a 21, 22-year-old Cowboys fan be so confident? Like, he has never seen success. So I think people have just been really blown away by your brashness. It's not even the new guys, just why is he so cocky? The Cowboys, again, have, like, two or three playoff wins the last 20-something years.
It's just that star, man.
It's just a star.
It's just that star.
It's just a star.
That star just gets you confidence, and look what happens when you just believe in the star.
You believe in the star, and you have a miraculous comeback, and you will snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. If you are an Atlanta Falcons fan, man, that sucks. That sucks for the Falcons. That's got to be tough. Was it tough, or were you used to it? Like, did you even blink?
No. You know, you saw it coming. It had been decided in the fourth quarter, late third. You kind of just knew.
I have a question, though. And I've been wanting to ask. I didn't want to tweet it to you. I didn't want to text it to you. I do have a question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, game, 12 points or so. I think it was a 12-point game. And apparently the Falcons have another wide receiver who can drop dimes throwing
down
the field. Yeah. Julio Jones dropped the game-deciding touchdown, and I was just wondering if you thought Michael Thomas would have caught that.
No, absolutely not. Michael Thomas doesn't even know how to get that far down the field. He wouldn't have been anywhere near that ball.
Okay, just checking.
But no, you saw Jerry Jones up in the stands with a laser pointer.
I don't feel like Michael Thomas drops very many that hits him right in the hands.
I mean, he's only usually 3 yards down the field.
I know, but still, I feel to catch it. I don't know. I don't know. I feel like if it hits him in the hands, he catches it. And Julio, on the other hand, did not.
And did you see the next Cowboys possession, Amari, the little one-handed snag down the field?
That was a good catch by Amari. I'm glad I never gave up my take on Amari. I'm glad I wasn't second-guessing what I said about Amari. CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup made plays, too, like the Cowboys. Yeah. It was funny because the game was just a stupid game between two franchises that are just stupid. The Falcons find a way to lose those games, and the Cowboys will find a way just to string you along long enough to go 8-8. You got to win every now and then to get to 8-8, so checks out. That was probably the most exciting game of the day, though. I mean, when you look at the result, the Seahawks-Patriots, that was my crystal ball prediction on Friday, is that that would be the talk of the town. I thought it would be because the Patriots offense couldn't keep up with the Seahawks, and I will say that I might have underestimated just how bad that Seahawks secondary is.
Yeah.
I mean, Cam looked good. I'm not going to take away from Cam, but that Seahawks secondary, not very good, and they were picking on Jamal Adams. Like, the Seahawks, I don't know if that's going to be what they do all year, but Jamal Adams, I think, was whenever he was the closest defender on passes, I believe Cam was 6 of 6 for like 160 yards. Maybe it was 130 yards. Somewhere in like the mid-hundreds. But a perfect 6 for 6. But Jamal Adams made big plays chasing down Cam Newton, making some tackles. Like, he's more of a linebacker in that defense, it seems. But the secondary still worries me. As someone who, you know, I think the Seahawks, if we'd looked at that quarterback schedule thing before I had picked the Cowboys like a couple months ago, I think the Seahawks would have been my pick.
Yeah.
Just because, like, their schedule screams like 13-3. Especially when you combine it with, you know, I thought the Seahawks were, or excuse me, the 49ers were due for a season from hell, and it does seem like yesterday, MetLife Stadium is going to help make that a true thing, because they just were dropping like flies. And the poor 49ers, man, like, they're mad. They were all talking about after the game, like, hey, fix the stadium or fix the grass. This turf isn't good. And now they have to go back there next week to play the Giants. Like, they have to go back on that field, and I feel really bad for the 49ers.
Yeah, they got beat up. The Jets were like, we're not going to win this game, but you're going to make sure you don't really win it either.
I don't know if the Jets even did anything. It's just the turf, like, grabbing ACLs.
Yeah, they were complaining about, like, a sticky turf or something like that. So, yeah. Rough breaks, for sure. There was a ton of injuries yesterday. It was
injuries, one of the biggest takeaways from week two so far, I think, right? I mean, is that the story of the week so far?
I think so. I mean,
you had a handful of 49ers
go
down.
Too.
You had Saquon Barkley go down. Christian McCaffrey hurt now. He's not out for the year. He's out for like a handful of weeks, right?
Yeah, it should be a few weeks. I haven't seen the exact number, but yeah, oof.
The Colts suffered a couple injuries. I think the last report about their best receiver, Paris Campbell, I think he – they originally feared ACL, but then they said they think he is okay.
Their safety, Malik Hooker, he did tear his Achilles, though.
Yeah, I was going to say Malik Hooker, their second best defender probably behind Leonard.
Yeah.
Goes out with a torn Achilles, and that's a big loss for them. Injury is a big deal. And then otherwise, I would say that – I mean, I think we might have the best MVP race that we've ever had.
Oh, yeah. Matt Ryan's coming.
I don't think Matt Ryan is going to be in the mix. I mean,
once we get back to 11-5 and you see the numbers he's putting up, he's going to be there.
Please stop. Because I don't know if you're serious or not, and I don't think the audience knows if you're serious or not, and I think we all think you're joking, but I know deep down you're not. The offense looked good, but the defense can't stop anybody, Cam. They let Dak Prescott throw for 450.
They're trying to get the man paid. Sorry.
450.
We wanted to help him out, but okay.
Dak Prescott threw for 450.
Hey, he needed every yard of it.
And also, what happened on the onside kick? I want to hear your interpretation of it.
Especially because the Falcons are a team that always talk about how good their onside kicker is. It seems kind of ironic that you would go down on an onside kick where you guys didn't know what the hell you were doing.
We're used to being on the other side of it.
Yeah.
So we usually don't practice actually getting them.
Okay.
Because usually we don't have that much of a lead.
Yeah, yeah.
It's either we win at the end or we don't. So usually we don't have leads, so we don't really practice that. But they were waiting. They thought the ball wasn't going to make it to 10 yards, but it trickled its way there.
I mean, just a historic collapse. Just a historic collapse.
I do like making history.
39 points with zero turnovers.
Elite.
Teams were 440-0 since 1933 when turnovers first started getting recorded. 440-0. Now that team is 440-1 after the Falcons. Matt Ryan has now lost five games with 125 passer rating and 250 yards. That was his fifth time doing it. No other quarterback has lost more than three.
See, what an elite quarterback that is.
I would say maybe he needs to learn how to burn the clock a little more. Like, he needs to take control of the offense, maybe pick up some first downs. Atlanta is the first team in NFL history to lose after scoring 39 points, having zero turnovers, and three takeaways.
Look at that. Clean offense, opportunistic defense. We coming.
And I would say this one I haven't verified, but I saw a stat that said NFL teams were 0-104 when needing an onside kick to win the game with the rule changes. And now they are 1-104.
Nice. We're all up in the record books.
On the wrong side. On the
wrong
side.
We're in there. You'll never forget us.
That is correct.
No, we're in a perfectly good situation.
No, you're not.
I love our stretch of games coming up.
I had
penciled this game in as a loss before the season.
I mean,
I'm cool.
It's fine, but to say you're in a perfect situation is just inaccurate. It would be a perfect situation to be 2-0 heading into an easy part of your schedule.
No, I mean, you get too much attention.
You're going to get that. I just gave you five stats that people have come and figured out on your behalf.
Don't forget about them next week, though.
I want to say it's also like 6-1800 and something. Up 15 with 6 minutes left.
Oh, we're good at blowing those. Don't worry. We know how to do that.
I know, but that's not the point of the game. The point of the game is to win those.
True. But I like that. We got two quarters of pretty solid defense. That's twice as much as we got last week. If we keep at this rate, next week we're going to get a full defensive performance.
I don't know if your boy AJ Terrell got any of his interceptions. I did see his jersey standing right in front of the onside kick, though. He did not jump on the ball for the onside kick.
I'm not sure why he's on the hands team. But he didn't play bad, actually.
Yeah, no, I don't know if he got his interception. You predicted two. I don't know if he got any of those. But I did see him standing right in front of the onside kick that he did not recover. Grant, I didn't watch much of that game because I was watching my team go 2-0.
Who'd you beat?
A 1-0 Jacksonville Jaguar team.
Oh, okay.
A division win.
Ooh, scary.
Can't take those for granted.
Oh, how much you win that by?
We won. A wise man once said, it doesn't matter if you win by an inch or a mile. Winning is winning. We won.
Well, congrats.
Thank you. I appreciate it. 2-0 in conference.
Handle Gardner Minshew and the tanking Jags team.
They might not be taking that. That Jaguars team might be 2-1 after Thursday. They play the Dolphins at home. They might be 2-1. The AFC South might be back.
What kind of trash Thursday night game is that?
Yeah.
I'm so mad at that one.
Yeah, that's a trash Thursday night game. That is a trash Thursday night game. Mm. Let's go to break. We'll set the scene from the rest of Week 2 in the NFL. Jerry Pruitt addressing the media. We'll give you a couple of his quick updates. We'll talk more Tennessee football in Hour 2 because it is game week. But we like to unpack the NFL here whenever we have good football, and we had good football yesterday. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Hey.
Some quick news and notes from Pruitt's presser. Cade May still not cleared by the SEC, so they still haven't heard anything. The NCAA gave him a stamp last Thursday. Pruitt says they still have not heard from the SEC, but they are planning on playing Cade Mays on Saturday. So we'll find out, I guess, at some point this week. Also, it does seem like Jerry Pruitt, he's not going to be one to give you a bunch of COVID updates during the season. Says it doesn't seem fair. I don't know if he means to the players or like his team having to give up an advantage schematically. Personnel-wise, like let the other coach have something to game plan with. So I'm assuming, Cam, that you will not have any idea on who is in and who is out for Tennessee until Saturday morning. Excuse me.
Yeah, I think that would check out because, like you said, I think it's the competitive advantage stuff. I think some other coaches have already came out and said they're not doing it because of that.
Yeah.
That aspect of it. And, yeah, it doesn't make any sense to do it, you know. You could change an entire game plan if you're like, oh, yeah, like the right side of our offensive line's out this week or you know, this
true.
Or that.
Yep, no, it's so true. And I get it from a, you know, in football especially, where these guys have to try to have every edge they can get and feel like they're doing the most serious thing in the world. Like, I get that you want to have any advantage you can have or at least avoid any disadvantages.
Yep.
But that's not going to make for a fun week as a fan.
Mm-hmm. You're just going to be hoping and waiting.
And then like there'll be some weeks where some rumors come out where you'll have the reporters at practice or you know, somebody you know having an eye on who's not at practice, and then you'll freak out. But you'll have to wait till Saturday morning to find out, you know, is your team going to be whole? But it's not just Tennessee having to do that. Like, I don't want to make it sound like we're the only ones doing it. Like, South Carolina's going to have to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They're worried about who's going to be there and who's not going to be there, too, on Saturday. Tennessee opens up as 3-point favorites. I don't know how you would bet on something that early. Because what happens if you get to Saturday and, like, you know, the COVID has hit your team?
Yeah.
We haven't seen how it's going to go in college football yet. Well, we haven't seen too many teams get affected, right? In terms of like having to miss key players so far. Now, granted, there haven't been many key games.
Yeah.
A lot of these games have been lopsided so far, or like you've just had a complete game cancellation. There hasn't really been too many instances where like a team's had been completely undermanned because of COVID, right?
Like, there I know was the a one few game. Small schools, like Georgia Southern had it a couple weeks ago where they had like, I think, 30 something players.
They were
out.
Playing like a small
school. They were playing the FCS school.
They didn't cover the spread, but they won the game.
Yeah,
right?
They barely won. Like, the other team missed the 2-point conversion for the win. So they snuck out that win. But I think it happened to another smaller school. But yeah, none of the big programs have really had that happen.
I know North Texas or Texas State, one of them, like, didn't have any tight ends for the game. Yeah, but like, I don't think they still kept that game close. And they were 24-point underdogs and covered. I haven't seen it happen in any of the big Power 5 schools so far.
Yeah, me neither.
I don't know if that means like there's some wealth disparity among the Power 5 and the Group 5 and like they're able to take better care of themselves or what. Yeah. I don't know. But we'll find out. That's what Pruitt said so far in his presser. We'll keep an eye on any other things that come out. We'll throw them into hour two. Try to get you an interview in the second hour each day this week, either from somebody here at Tennessee or somebody from South Carolina. So we'll talk to
Sweet.
Jonathan Toy, who covers the team for the Maryville paper, in the second hour. NFL takeaways. I mean, I think you got out of the night game with Russell Wilson, MVP. Kind of that's the narrative. Although I do think it's going to be a really good MVP race. And it's crazy to me how far the quarterback position has come the last couple of years, because the four best quarterbacks in the league right now are black and exciting, and they're all going to be in the MVP conversation this year. come a long way for the black quarterback.
Yeah, it's a complete flip from, you know, what it used to be, the norm.
I mean, you got Kyler Murray running around looking like a young Mike Vick out there. That's more accurate. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's one play I think for the touchdown that really shut the door. It was like second and 15 or something like that, and they ran just a really basic. It may have been like third and 18 or something like that. They ran a very basic quarterback draw for Kyler Murray, and he just did not get touched and ran right down the middle of the field and scored. Same as Patrick Mahomes. They had a big third and 20 where they're trying to get in the field goal range, and Mahomes
took off.
Mahomes was like, you guys might forget because I don't ever really do this, but I'm really fast too. Like, I'm a good athlete too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he took off for that one.
You guys might not think about it because I don't ever have to do it. I might just roll out every now and then and throw, but like AFC Championship against the Titans, I'm going to take off and score a touchdown running. And yesterday, game on the line, third and 20, just going to go right up the middle and pick up 22 yards and win that game. Which, by the way, shout out to Harrison Butker. But the ball's on him to come out and just nail three straight 50-yarders.
Yeah.
Nailed one.
He's from 50. Keep calling the timeout.
Nailed one for 53. False start. Nailed another from 58. Timeout. Nailed another one after that, right down the middle. The third one was the best one, the best kick of the three. Yeah.
He was like, you just let me practice at this point.
It was simple, and Butker is on there. He might even be better than Justin Tucker at this point. I don't know. It's Tucker and Butker for me. Two best kickers. Two great teams, like, can trust their kicker. Titans ran out Gostkowski. He came through. He's 2-0 when it matters, baby. Two game winners. But my big takeaway is, like, yeah, it's going to be a good four-person MVP race. Might even throw Rodgers in if the Packers keep scoring a whole bunch of points.
And Ryan, yeah.
My top five quarterbacks all looked pretty good this week. Feel really good about that takeaway from week one. My official top five quarterback ranking, I think that feels even better after week two.
Yeah.
With Mahomes, Wilson, Lamar, Murray, and Rodgers, all five of those guys. Another stud performance from all of them. Monday Night Football finally got what they're waiting for. They got Ravens-Chiefs coming up week three.
Yeah, that should be fun.
Packers-Saints for Sunday Night Football should be good, too. We're going to get some good primetime games next week.
I'm excited for that.
Got some coaches that are dead men walking, it feels like. Got some coaches that are dead men walking.
Who?
Gase.
Yep.
Adam Gase, dead man walking.
Crazy eyes.
Matt Patricia, dead man walking.
Yep.
Mike Zimmer is on life support. He is on life support and limping around.
They look rough to start this year. Holy cow.
They look terrible.
Yeah.
They can't play either side of the ball. They can't stop anybody and they can't score.
Kirk Cousins looked awful yesterday.
That's two games in a row like where he has looked awful. The only problem was yesterday, week two, they didn't get any garbage time. Like the Colts didn't really let up.
Mm-hmm. Y'all only opened as 2.5-point favorites on them.
Well, I don't even necessarily blame that just because, A, it's a road game, and like traditionally week three you'll have the 0-2 team like throw everything they can at a 2-0 team, and you know, it's the NFL.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
And the I wasn't offended by that. I wasn't offended by that. Now, you know, I think the Titans are better than the Vikings, but I keep thinking, and I even thought on Sunday, like, the Vikings can't be this bad, right? Like, they'll put up a fight against the Colts, and no, they didn't.
They just laid down and...
They just laid down and took it, and, like, you're worried about, like, what Zimmer is doing in that locker room, because that seems like a team that doesn't really care.
Yeah,
you've seen that a couple times so far. Like, I mean, you had it yesterday in Indianapolis with the Vikings. You had it with the Jets giving up an 80-yard touchdown run on the first play of the game.
That will do it.
And then getting beat by, like, the 49ers backups, getting beat down by them, like, in the second half. Like, the Jets look like they could not care less about Adam Gase's future. Yep. The Lions are very close to checking out on Matt Patricia. Like, there's a couple coaches. Bill O'Brien...
Mm-hmm.
The Texans tried a little bit in that game for a little bit, but they realized quickly they had nothing for the Ravens. They had nothing there. The teams who traded stud receivers, 0-4. The teams who went out and got stud receivers, and I'm calling Stephon Diggs a stud for this for the sake of this argument, because I think we all thought Stephon Diggs was hovering around the top 10 as receiver.
Yeah.
He was like a top 10 receiver yesterday with Josh Allen, as he had more receiving yards than the Vikings did, their entire team.
Jeez.
Those teams 4-0, the teams that thought they could just trade their wide receiver away, 0-4 and looking very bad on offense. It'd be one thing if the Texans were just like not able to stop teams and losing, but they can't score. Same as the Vikings, they can't score. And then all of a sudden you realize, maybe we need these stud receivers who open up our entire offense. Like, I don't know how much Stephon Diggs mattered in Minnesota last year. I mean, Thielen was that guy, but I know when you don't have a guy out there to help take attention off of Thielen.
Throw everything at him.
Then you throw everything at him, and then all of a sudden your offense is going nowhere, and you have no number two receiver. And your quarterback is very limited as it is. That was a couple of my takeaways. But that night game, Seahawks-Patriots, what did you guys think about that? Because Russell Wilson became the second quarterback ever to throw 5 touchdowns against a Patriots-led, a Bill Belichick-led Patriots team. It's only happened one other time in history. Wilson made it look easy last night.
Mm-hmm.
5 touchdowns to 5 different players, I believe the stats were. Maybe my takeaway is, like I said, I think this is MVP Russell Wilson. I think this is his year. But second of all, man, like I think when we're talking about top 10 receivers, we're getting close to having to throw DK Metcalf in there.
He's looked really good. He was bullying Stephon Gilmore.
Oh, he was. He was. And, like, Stephon Gilmore wanted no parts of DK Metcalf as that game went on.
Yeah, I think they said it was the DK Metcalf touchdown where he just kind of shrugs Gilmore off him after the catch. I think they said that was the first touchdown Gilmore's given up since 2018. Like, he's been elite these past couple years. Metcalf just made him look like an average corner out there.
Stephon Gilmore, reigning defensive player of the year. Like, I mean, he is a monster. But it wasn't even that touchdown. There was a couple of third downs, like, or second downs he couldn't stop him. Like, Gilmore was just toying with, or Metcalf was just toying with him.
Yep.
I'm going deep. Nope, cutting this off. You're going to go flying. Here's a 10-yard catch.
Crazy.
What do you think about Cam?
It looks solid. It looks solid for sure.
Patriots a playoff team or no? Because the Patriots defense not as good as it was last year. Now, it still might be good. And like I said, Russell Wilson, best quarterback in the league, tied with Patrick Mahomes. So like they're not going to go up against Patrick Mahomes every week or Russell Wilson, so they should be okay. And I don't know what I think of that Patriots offense just yet. Like, I know Cam looked pretty good last night, but pick 6 helped.
Yeah. I think that Seattle defense is still a little questionable.
Defense is a little questionable. They also, like, gave up a garbage time touchdown. And then, like, you know, all of a sudden they found themselves like, oh, wait, wow, this game's not over. We thought the game was over when it was a 12-point game with 5 minutes left. It's not over.
Yeah, don't do that.
They got the one stop they needed on the goal line, but they would have given up that touchdown had they had a couple more plays.
Yeah, you would think so.
What do we think? Is Patriots a playoff team? You ready to make that declaration or not? Because I'm still not there yet.
Yeah, but I don't think they're going to win the division, but I think they'll make the playoffs.
I'm kind of saying, well, I think just with the, you know, having to play the Jets and Dolphins 4 times combined, I think they'll find a way to sneak in there with that extra playoff spot.
Sure.
I'm starting to lock them to win the AFC East, really. I think Buffalo's a good team, and I'm not trying to take any credit away from Buffalo. They're well coached. But really, Josh McDaniel, the way he's using Cam Newton is exceptional. I love that they've been able to throw the football despite these lack of weapons that everybody keeps talking about. And, okay, yeah, their defense wasn't great, and they got a lot of missing parts. But if anybody's going to figure out how to use this defense to the best of its ability, it's going to be Bill Belichick. So I think the coaching and the fact that Cam Newton looks good, he looks fresh, I think they can win this division. I really do. I think they'll compete in this division.
Well, I think they'll compete. I don't think they'll win it, though. I just, I like what I've seen from Buffalo so far. And, you know, you're talking about Cam Newton staying fresh. I'm also worried that Cam Newton's not going to stay fresh the entire year.
You think they're running him too much?
I think they're running him too much. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I said that after week one. And, like, they ran him more last night. And, you know, it's effective. But what we've seen from Cam Newton in Carolina was the more he runs, the more that shoulder is going to become a question.
Yeah. Like, I mean, look at, like, the hit he took at the end of the game trying to get into the end zone. Like, they're just letting him take stuff like that.
At what point, you know, we make fun of Bill O'Brien a lot.
Mm-hmm.
At what point do we start making fun of Bill Belichick, the GM? Like, does he get the benefit of the doubt forever just because, like, he won a bunch of Super Bowls? Because I feel like head coach Bill Belichick won those Super Bowls, not so much GM Bill Belichick.
Fair.
I don't know. I'm just looking. I'm thinking from, like, the last, like, 2 of the last 3, years in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just looking, and I'm watching the Patriots last night, and I just told you, like, DK Metcalf rushing into the top 10 in terms of wide receivers. Do you know who is not doing that?
N'Keal Harry.
N'Keal Harry, not anywhere near top 10 wide receivers. And, like, hey, you guys might have forgotten, but the Patriots took N'Keal Harry in the first round.
Yep.
right ahead of Deebo Samuel, who's really good. Right ahead of A.J. Brown, who's really good. Right ahead of Mecole Hardman, who's pretty good. You know, you could have had DK Metcalf at the end of the second round. You could have had Deontay Johnson. You could have had Terry McLaurin. Those guys were basically end of second, early third round picks. Like, you had a chance to go get some receivers. Like, of the receivers I just named, N'Keal Harry, Deebo Samuel. Here's the order they went in 2019. Deebo Samuel went after N'Keal. Okay, so Marquez Brown, they couldn't have gotten him. Then it goes N'Keal Harry, Deebo, A.J. Brown, Mecole Hardman, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, that ended up in Philadelphia, Paris Campbell, Andy Isabella, D.K. Metcalf, Deontay Johnson, Jalen Hurd, Terry McLaurin. I think of those guys I listed, they got like the third worst.
Yeah, I think that checks out.
Like N'Keal Harry or Arcega-Whiteside, okay, I'll probably take him. But for me, like, and Jalen Hurd hasn't done anything yet either. Like, Andy Isabella's made more of an impact so far in his career than N'Keal Harry has. And then you go back and you look, like, in that 2018 draft, they took Sonny Michel. And Sonny Michel doesn't belong on an NFL field anymore. Like, I don't think. Has he ever had a good moment? Like, I know, I guess their Super Bowl run, he got hot, and the Patriots' run game, they just rode Michel. They rode a run game. Mm-hmm. They had Gronk. They were just pushing people around. So I guess maybe he helped them win that Super Bowl in 2018, but you look at the other running backs around him, Nick Chubb, Ronald Jones. I mean, I think both those guys better. Now, there's not a lot of good running backs after that. Royce Freeman, probably better. Naheem Himes. But I just wonder, like, at what point we start talking about the GM, Bill Belichick, because you throw in last year's second-round pick, Mohamed Sanu. Hasn't been a great little run so far for him, in my opinion.
Yeah, but I guess people aren't really going to point it out unless he starts losing.
Until he starts losing. And he's winning. He's winning, so I guess it'll work out. But I was just looking and thinking, like, huh.
Yeah, they could have drafted better.
Oh. Do you know who was taken one spot before Sonny Michel in that draft? We were just looking at the running backs. We know they was taken one spot ahead of him in the draft. Just if we're talking about, like, you know, Bill Belichick, this genius.
Not sure.
Okay. Hayden, do you know 2018 who the Patriots took one spot ahead of Sonny Michel?
No.
Draven, you want to take a guess at it?
I don't know why I'm blanking that draft. I want to say it's a defensive player.
Okay, it's not a defensive player, so you're wrong. Okay. Go ahead and stop.
Good start.
They took Sonny Michel, 2018 draft, pick number 31.
Yep.
Pick number 32.
Oh, Lamar.
Lamar Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
When you had a 42-year-old quarterback. You took Sonny Michel, who could barely play.
I've forgotten they took Sonny Michel in the first round.
Yeah.
I thought he was second round.
No. No, no, no. They took Sonny Michel one spot ahead of Lamar Jackson. That's what I kept thinking about watching the Patriots game last night. I was like, man, Belichick really whiffs on some of these draft picks, huh? But again, you get the benefit of the doubt if you are winning and they've been winning. I just don't know how much they're going to win anymore. Like, I do feel like this is going to catch up to them. It's already kind of caught up to them.
Yeah, you'd think so, especially with how their roster has been pretty old, too. So once it starts transitioning a little more, and the draft picks have to be in bigger roles, you're like, oh, they aren't what we thought they were.
One spot ahead of Lamar Jackson and, you know, five spots ahead of Nick Chubb. Could also got Darius Leonard at, you know, he was number 36, a really good linebacker. Courtland Sutton was number 40, and just looking there too, like they could have had some talent there. Just thinking, I'm not penciling them into a playoff spot yet. I'm not sold on that Patriots team. I think that the pick six helped, and I do think the Seahawks defense still a problem. Like, I thought Jamal Adams would help that secondary more, and he's helped them mostly in the run game, I think.
Yeah.
And blitzing. Like, he is a weapon, don't get me wrong, but, like, coverage not his strength. And they had their defensive backs dropping like flies last night. So I'm not ready to pencil the Patriots in for a playoff spot yet. I'm not ruling them out, but I still think the Bills are better. And I am looking forward to the Bills-Patriots this year, like, because, I mean, like, I want to see that Patriots secondary try to chase around the receivers in Buffalo, because all of a sudden I feel like they got two pretty good ones.
While Josh Allen's just running around back there.
Well, Josh Allen, like, it's one of those, every now and then there'll be something that you're like, okay, this makes perfect sense to me. Why are NFL teams struggling with it? But like, maybe, guys, maybe if you're playing the Buffalo Bills, don't blitz Josh Allen. Like, I don't see the point of blitzing Josh Allen, because if you blitz, you know, most likely, Cam, you're going to be in man coverage, right? Like, most likely if you're blitzing, like, every now and then there'll be a zone blitz.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly when you're sitting pressure, you're going to have man coverage. And Josh Allen doesn't have to be accurate when you're throwing against man coverage. You know what you do?
Yeah.
You just throw it deep and hope your wide receivers run under it. And Josh Allen throws a pretty good deep ball.
Yeah.
It's the 10 to 15-yard passes he struggles with. Yesterday, Josh Allen, while facing pressure, 9 completions, 220 yards, 4 touchdowns, a passer rating of 158.3, which is perfect. Maybe don't blitz Josh Allen.
Yeah, especially with those numbers. It sounds like that's not the plan. That's not a good game plan.
And also, like, when you blitz Josh Allen and you're in man coverage,
flush him out,
he can also flush out of the pocket and run. Yep. He's going to be faster than a lot of your defensive linemen and some of your linebackers.
He doesn't even look like it, but he is.
Josh Allen does a lot for white athleticism. He is our guy.
Did you see him truck Kyle Van Noy for the Dolphins?
He almost picked up a first down after truck. It was like 3rd and 7, 2 yards down the field. He runs into a linebacker. Almost throws the linebacker off, or he does throw the linebacker off, but he gets tackled a yard short. But it was one of the best plays you've ever seen from a quarterback, and he still didn't get a first down. But Josh Allen, you know, much like Cam Newton, I don't know if he should be doing that. Like, I'm Sean McDermott, like, hey, it's the
slide.
Dolphins, bro. Like,
slide.
Please don't try to truck these guys. Just let's take it easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love Josh Allen.
But I will also point out, Josh Allen, they've played the Jets and the Dolphins.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's fair.
So they're 2-0 in the division. So I do want to point out, like, they've had 2 pretty easy games so far.
Play the Rams this Sunday.
Play the Rams this Sunday. It's in Buffalo too, right?
Yep, in Buffalo.
That'll be a good test. 2-0 teams. Mm-hmm. Rams feeling good after beating the Eagles. Can't believe you crossed that one out, Hayden. From your best bets on Friday, can't believe you crossed that one out.
I was more confident in the 49ers, and
okay.
So really, I was right twice, but.
Cross it out.
Well, we couldn't do 2. I asked if we could do 2. You said 1. So I said 49ers.
Yep. Okay. My bad.
Yep.
Relax. Jeez, don't blow a gasket over there. Yeah.
I'm in a bad mood today.
You're in a bad mood today?
Yeah.
Fantasy
you
problems?
Talk about it?
Yeah. They're pissing me off.
I got to be honest. I have not ever cared less about my fantasy teams than I do right now.
Oh, I'm about to care even less than you now. Because I'm already going to be in last place now. There's no way coming back from this.
I can tell you're in a bad mood. I can see it in your face.
It's just remarable how many, like, whoever
I
draft.
Did you have Saquon?
Yeah, 3 of the 4 leagues. Yep. Kittle, A.J. Brown.
Can you cut any of the Titans you have? Just get rid of them? Just for my sake.
I only have A.J. Brown on one
team.
Can
you just
That's
go
it.
Ahead and get rid of him?
Oh, I have Tannehill on my bench. He hasn't played yet, though. Maybe if I
start
him, he'll get hurt next week.
Cut him. Cut him, please. Cut him, please.
I don't think he's ever going to play for me because I have Dak, so.
4 of the 5 best quarterbacks in the NFL might be black, and the other 2 are Aaron Rodgers and Ryan Tannehill. That's the top 6.
And Matt Ryan, yeah.
How about that dime Ryan Tannehill dropped last night? Or yesterday, I guess, to Adam Humphries. Maybe the best throw of the week. Ugh. Titans 2-0. We'll talk about that next. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. As we are back in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. I enjoyed some White Claw yesterday while watching my Titans. Since I've made the switch to White Claw, Titans undefeated 2-0. I'm not going to say they're connected, but I'm going to pick me up another. Actually, I couldn't pick up a 12-pack. I tried to go pick up a 12-pack of White Claw at the grocery store. They didn't have any 12-packs. I had to pick up 2 6-packs.
Everybody's been buying them up.
I had to get a 6-pack of the mango and a 6-pack of the wild cherry. Or the black cherry. The black cherry, excuse me. Had to mix and match, but I was also like, I know I like both those flavors, so it works for me. So I didn't be able to, I couldn't pick up a 12-pack. I got to pick up 2 6-packs as I watched my Titans move to 2-0. Cam, Draven, how's it feel?
To what?
My team is 2-0 and yours is not. Yours is the opposite of 2-0.
Whoa. Well, okay,
who's going 11-5?
We talked about, you know, the Bills haven't really beat anybody good.
Uh-huh.
What about the Titans?
The Bills beat the the Titans beat the Jaguars, who are 1-0, or were 1-0.
But we don't think the Jaguars are a good team, do we?
They're 1-0, or were 1-0.
I'll give them credit, 2-0, good start.
The Broncos were game yesterday in Pittsburgh for portions of the game.
Jeff Driscoll.
I mean, they had a chance. They were down 5 driving.
Yeah, they did.
2 conference wins, 1 in the division. We beat an undefeated division team. You'll sign up for that every week. We never trailed in the game. It was complete domination. Sure, we only won by 3, but we never trailed. They never had the ball past midfield with a chance to take the lead. There was zero concern for me. We're just getting some late season reps early. I like what we're doing. The defense is going to have to find their way. They're going to have to get healthy, and Vrabel's going to have to fix up his play calling a little bit. But the offense, I mean, guys, Tannehill, 4 touchdowns, 145 passer rating.
Cool.
It's kind of good, you know, especially when none of it's garbage time. When you're just, like, controlling a game.
Wasn't he perfect in the red zone?
4 for 4, 4 touchdowns. I wasn't going to be the one to bring it up, but since you did, we have the best red zone quarterback in the league. Over a 15-game sample size now, best red zone quarterback in the league. 15 games enough, or do we have to do it longer? You guys just let me know, because you guys are the ones.
Full season,
you guys are the ones that keep talking about how, like, it's early, he's going to regress. Many people said Ryan Tannehill was going to regress, and guess what hasn't happened so far through 2 weeks?
I'm guessing no regression.
There has been no regression. You are correct, Cam. Good job by you.
Look at that. Thriving today.
You're doing good.
Yeah, I'm on my self-care. I'm over here drinking a smoothie. You know me. This is close. I'll get to eating vegetables, so I'm on my healthy track.
I love seeing it. I feel like it's good for your brain, too. The brain juices are flowing for Cam.
Yeah,
Let's try again for Draven. Let's try again for Draven. Many haters said Tannehill was going to regress and that it was a flash in the pan last year. Guess what hasn't happened through 2 games so far?
He hasn't regressed.
You're getting it. You're learning. You've got it.
Let's see him do it against an elite defense. Let's see him do
it. The Broncos are a good defense.
Oh, come on now. No Von Miller. A.J. Bouye got hurt like in the second quarter.
A.J. Bouye.
That's their best quarter.
It's not 2017 anymore.
Well, that's their best quarter.
I mean, that's fine, but it's not 2017. A.J. Bouye.
Lucky for them, they get the high-level Vikings defense.
I was about to say, how about this Titans start, man? This schedule? What a lineup. What a setup.
I mean, before the year, everyone talked about it being tough. I was like, you got to go to Denver, and then you got to go to Minnesota. Like, 2 of your first weeks in Denver, Minnesota isn't a walk in the park. I mean, we made Denver look like a walk in the park. We just dominated that game, even though we won by 2 points and missed a bunch of field goals. But, you know, we were never in doubt. Was never worried. We just had to get some early season reps for Tannehill. Who, by the way, 2 game-winning drives in the fourth quarter so far this year. 2 for 2 on game-winning drives. Made it look easy both times, too, by the way.
I wouldn't say easy.
He made it look easy.
The last drive, it wasn't like a chip shot for Gostkowski, who, by the way, still struggling
a little bit. Who was, by the way, 2-0 on game-winning field goals this year.
I'll give him credit. He steps up when the moment counts.
Many haters and losers. There are a lot of them. What's wrong with Derrick Henry? Why isn't he King Henry? Why isn't he running? Ignoring the fact that he is on pace for 1,600 yards. He has 200 yards through 2 games. Hayden, what is 200 times 8?
1,600.
What is 100 times 16?
1,600.
He is on pace for 1,600 yards, which would be pretty good.
That's pretty solid.
Titans on pace for 16-0. Derrick Henry on pace for 1,600 yards. Meanwhile, other running backs, I mean, I don't want to, like, this might come off with the wrong tone, but, like, Saquon Barkley's going to have 1,600 yards this year.
Oh, no.
Too soon.
He shouldn't have went there.
Too soon.
Shouldn't have went there.
Christian McCaffrey, he got a lot of money this offseason. I don't think he's going to have the same impact Henry as the next, handful of weeks. I'm just saying.
You don't want to say that because then you don't want King Henry to get hurt next week.
He's not going to get hurt.
Oh, no, you should not have said that, John.
He's not going to get hurt.
You should not have said that.
He is a physical specimen. He's not going to get hurt.
And Saquon Barkley is not a physical specimen?
A little short. He's a little short.
Okay.
Legs a little too big. Have you ever noticed that about Saquon? His legs are too big.
Proportions off.
Yeah, his legs are too big for his body. Legs are too big for his body. The ACL gets straightened that way. Again, wrong tone. I'm just saying, be worried about what happened to Derrick Henry. He's still standing after 2 weeks. He's on pace for 1,600 yards. His team's 2-0. He had some big runs when it mattered. Has he been running like a madman like he did the end of last year? No, but he never does that. He's like a diesel engine, baby. The weather's got to get a little colder, and he has to get revved up and keep going. Anyone who drives a diesel engine knows you don't start it and immediately start driving it. No, you start it and you wait a little bit. Gotta let it warm up. Everyone knows that. Draven gets it. He knows that when it gets a little colder and teams start getting a little worn down, that's when Henry thrives. This is the most yards Henry's ever had through two games in his NFL career. You shouldn't be asking what's wrong with Derrick Henry. It's fine. He's right on pace. 1,600 yards. We're just letting Tannehill cook. We had to let the haters and losers know Tannehill for real. Sixth best quarterback in the league. Third best quarterback in the AFC. I'm just going to keep letting you guys know that every week. 145 passer rating. I mean, you can't really argue with that. Four touchdowns. I mean, six incompletions. Like, sure, maybe we dial back on the incompletions a little bit, Tannehill. But, I mean, like, you know, four touchdowns, including, like I said, just a dime to Adam Humphries. A couple dimes in the end zone. I mean, all three of the touchdowns, just absolute beauties. Hayden, does that cheer you up a little bit?
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. You didn't have to bring his name into this. It just made me even more sad.
You got sadder?
It's about Barkley.
Yeah. Oh, Barkley.
Do you need me to go get you a smoothie?
I don't really like smoothies, to be honest, but...
And that's why you're the way you are today.
Wow. Wow.
No.
I partially blame the Falcons game on Hayden, to be honest.
Hayden still hasn't learned his lesson.
He tweeted me mid-game. Whoa, bro, it's early.
Wait.
Hayden still hasn't learned his lesson. Wait.
There's a difference. I did not take a victory lap by myself. No. People were coming out of the woodwork to let me know, and Cam, by way of me, that we were right. And I still think we were right. They should have won the game, but they didn't. But
you just can't.
So
say
I'm
it.
Not. I mean, I'm just saying.
I never.
You can't take your victory
early.
Lap before.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it's okay. It's okay.
I didn't take it. They were telling me to. So I did.
I know, but I saw your tweet too early.
Yeah. It was. Yeah, but
too early.
I don't care that they lost. I don't care about the Falcons.
You sound like you're upset that you got your prediction wrong, though.
No, I'm already upset about Saquon, and
please
you're making it even worse.
Please let the Talk Sports fans know that I gave you guys winners on Friday afternoon. By the way,
so did I.
Seahawks. -3.5, never in doubt.
Jets.
It didn't look good after that first pick six, but never in doubt. Quit saying Jets. You picked the 49ers.
49ers -7 and Rams +1.
You crossed that one out. I was like the rest of the world. I was on all these two-team teasers, and they all came through. They weren't pretty. Chiefs had you sweating, but we came through on the two-team teaser. I said two different two-team teasers. Titans, Chiefs, easy. No sweat. 49ers, Ravens, easy, no sweat. And the Seahawks. I gave you guys three winners last week. Three.
Hope you hammered the Falcons over.
Which one of the Chargers?
Although the Chargers look pretty good. I think it's asinine that they're talking about going back to Tyrod Taylor if he's healthy.
Free Herbert.
The same thing happened to Tyrod Taylor, though, in Cleveland. He got hurt, and then Baker Mayfield came in and won. And then Hugh Jackson's like, actually, we're going back to Tyrod when he's healthy. And all of Cleveland's like, no the hell you aren't. And then Hugh Jackson's like, okay, never mind. No, I'm not. Baker's a quarterback.
Yeah, he's having deja vu right now.
So we'll see what happens. Tyrod knows the game. He's like, hey, I'm here to get paid to be the quarterback that eventually gets replaced by the young guy.
Yep.
I didn't think Herbert lost in the game, though.
You thought he did or didn't?
I thought he did.
I think his...
The interception lost in the game.
Interception is the worst play he could possibly make in that situation. Yep. He could have ran for 15 yards on second and two. They were already up eight. They would have been in field goal range. And he's like, hey, this guy's open. I'm going to throw it back across my body. And then you realize, oh, wait, this is the NFL. This is not the Pac-12. Easy interception.
First game. I'll give him a pass.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it diminishes like his performance. He played pretty well. Yeah. I would not want to see Tyrod Taylor on the field again if I was a Chargers fan. I would just say, hey, let's go with Herbert. Although, that defense looks like it's good enough to keep them in a bunch of games this year. And they might be able to, you know, call their way to a 7 seed maybe.
Yeah. Keenan Allen looks so happy to be catching passes from a competent quarterback.
Yeah.
He was so excited every time he caught the ball.
If they mix in more of Herbert's running, Herbert can be good.
It's my boy.
But he can't throw that pass ever again. And, like, you know, maybe get out of your system in the first start and maybe you won't make that mistake again. Just always take the first down.
We'll workshop it in film.
Yeah. Oh, you're up 8. Just take the first down. Take the first down.
Love to see Herbert out there.
Mahomes, though, came up big when it mattered.
Yeah.
Anthony Lynn, very dumb for not going for it on fourth and one, by the way.
Yeah, I agree.
In overtime. Like, you're the Chargers, bro.
You got to, yeah.
You got the ball first. Like, that's your chance. Like, go for it.
Plus, Kelly been running the ball pretty decently.
Yeah, Kelly's pretty good. Kelly's pretty good.
Nobody get him. I'm getting him this week.
Should have got him last week.
You can have him in the leagues. It's okay.
I deserve it after Saquon.
I imagine you have the number one waiver priority.
I'm actually 2-0 in two leagues right now, and now I'm screwed.
Oh, boy.
Oh, well, never mind.
Yeah, exactly.
Not 2-0 in one of them.
2-0 and 2.
You need to just let go of fantasy and put your energy behind the Titans, Hayden. Me, I'm on top of the world. And sure, in my long-running keeper league, I beat a guy 220-90. Like, sure, I did that. Because I'm a fantasy savant, I guess. And I saw Josh Allen coming, and Aaron Jones
Sorry,
was...
I couldn't quite hear you. Could you please repeat what you said?
I don't know what Siri heard that triggered her there, but Savant maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, it was.
But I don't care about fantasy because my team is good. Real football matters to me now.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do that.
The 2-0 Titans, just put all your energy back there. I barely even turned over to the red zone yesterday. Barely. I was just kicked back, watching the a top three team in the AFC cook. Ravens Chiefs going to be a lot of fun this week. Where's that game at? Baltimore? I think Baltimore has all their tough games at home, right?
If I remember right, yeah.
Baltimore on a really good streak right now.
It is in Baltimore, yep.
Did you guys realize they've won 14 straight regular season games?
Wow. No, but I believe it.
They've won 14 straight regular season games by an average of 19 points.
So their last loss was week 4 to Cleveland, right?
Yep.
In the regular season.
Yeah. But their last real loss was...
Yeah, we all know.
The last time they actually lost a football game was
we all know.
To the Tennessee Titans, and Ryan Tannehill went in there and was dropping touchdowns on their head. There was at one point in the game where Ryan Tannehill had more rushing touchdowns than Lamar Jackson, and Derrick Henry had more passing touchdowns than Lamar Jackson in that playoff game. Just a reminder for people. But other than that, they've won 14 straight. Other than that. Ravens Chiefs should be a lot of fun this week. I think the Ravens are going to win.
Ooh.
Has that spread came out yet?
Yeah, it's 3.5 Ravens.
3.5 Ravens? Oof. They're giving the hook with the Chiefs, too? It's no respect. Hour 1 of the book. We'll kick off hour 2 with headlines, and we'll talk some ball football. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.